Welcome to Booking the Territory, a pro wrestling podcast hosted by Mike Mills and Doc Turner. This podcast is all about what's going on in the world of professional wrestling. And now, here's your host, Mike Mills.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the inaugural edition of Booking the Territory. I'm Mike Mills, and I'm here with the not-so-famous Doc Turner. We're going to analyze and give our thoughts about pro wrestling and what's going on in the world today with it. That's right. We call it pro wrestling here. If you don't call it pro wrestling, that's your problem. Doc, what's going on?
Not too much, Mike. Good to be here today. Ready to book some territories.
Let's do it. Let's book the territory. So we might as well just jump into it. You know, I sat back and watched Raw this week, and I'll just tell you, just bottom line, I love what's going on with Cena and Owens. I think it's great. You know, a lot of people were complaining about the Elimination Chamber match with them, and maybe Owens gave a little bit too much, but honestly, I liked it. I liked the fact that he went over. I know there was one podcast where it was even predicted before, but I don't know. What do you think about Raw and what's going on overall?
Man, I know everybody says this, but 3 hours is too long.
Yeah, you know, they gotta fill up content, man. They gotta just put something out there. That's what USA is doing.
They gotta sell Skittles and DiGiorno pizza and whatever else they're selling. But the thing I realized is that after I watched Raw, I don't remember half of what I saw the next day. But I tell you one thing: when Kevin Owens gets in the ring, he makes an impression.
That's a bad dude. I'm actually really looking forward to. I don't know if you knew this. You know they announced he's gonna be at Money in the Bank. It's gonna be Cena and Owens again.
Oh, so he's got Cena gets his heat back then, is what you're saying?
I don't know. I mean, if they do it like they did the Rusev program, what they'll end up doing is you know, basically they could send it over where Cena ends up, you know, putting Owens over again. So who knows? I mean, it's all in what they want to do, but I'd really like to see Owens go over again. I mean, that's just my opinion. And you'd like to call me a Cena mark, but it is what it is. I think the dude is what it is, and he's good at what he does, and that's that. But, yeah, I they're going to do it again, and we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Man, I don't sit there on my couch and pop out loud very often, but a couple of weeks ago when Owens came out and told Cena that you don't lecture me, I've been in this business longer than you, I popped out loud. That was some sweet shit right there.
No, that was really good. That was really good because he, it's true. I mean, he's been in the business for a long time. I mean, you can't sit there and knock the guy, you know, to sit there and say, you know, I thought it was brilliant. I mean, I don't know how much of that was completely scripted, but the fact that Owens came back and said, hey, let me tell you something, partner. You don't freaking tell me and give me advice just because you got a break before me. To me, it's real. It comes across believable. You know, I listen to JR all the time. That's what he says. He wants it to come across believable. It comes across believable. And WWE is brilliant to me because in that respect, Owens is going to, you know, the people who hate Cena go, ooh, yeah, I like that. And the people who love him go like, oh, whatever, you know, so I think it pleased both worlds, so to say.
Well, you know, I don't have the network you do. So you get to see NXT, and I get to hear everybody putting it over on podcast. But what I know as the casual Raw viewer is they roll out the Ascension and job them straight the hell out. Then you see Neville come out, and all I've been hearing is about how great Neville is. And he's great, but he loses his first couple of matches. Then you roll out Sami Zayn, and he rips his shoulder out getting to the ring.
Yeah.
Even though it was an awesome match. So at some point, you know, I'm sure Triple H went to Vince and said, goddamn, pal, we got to put one of our guys over.
And so, yeah, more than likely. More than likely. I can see that happening. There's a lot of talent down there. I mean, I know you don't catch a lot of it and see as much as I do, but there is a ton of talent. I mean, I'll go into it because I was going to talk about this, but so they announced on July 4th there's a Japan special. Did you hear about that? WWE.
I did. Oh, I did. Lesnar's going to fight Shelton Benjamin, right?
I don't know about that, but I didn't see that part. But no, where I was going with was
is it Shelton Benjamin or Kofi Kingston?
I can't remember. But where I'm going is you're talking about NXT, so. Owens is involved with the program with Cena at this point, but on that July 4th special, Owens and Finn Balor are going to go at it. So I don't know. I'm kind of looking at that going, okay, so what does that mean for – there's multiple things and multiple timelines going on here. You got the NXT title with Owens, and then you got, you know, with him and Finn Balor because they announced it on Wednesday's NXT. And then you got – you also got Cena and Owens and, you know, the whole at the Money in the Bank coming up. It just makes me wonder – it's good because, you know, as somebody who was in the industry, in the business, and then now, you know, just watching it from afar, I like it. They got two things going on here. I mean, it's unpredictable. You don't know what's going to happen because you're like, wait, you know, Owens got the NXT title, so does that mean he's going to lose to Finn Balor? I don't know. And then you got the whole Cena Owens thing, so what's going to happen with that? It's dual storylines, but it just really makes you wonder. So I kind of sit back and think, man, what's going to happen?
Well, here's a question for you as somebody who's actually earned a dollar in this business in his lifetime.
Earned may be subjective in ways after you pay for gas and whatnot, but go ahead.
Right. Well, what I've heard is that those boys down in NXT ain't making all that much money. And so as they start to flow up to the roster and get a little bit of taste of the big time, what I wonder is it's one thing to be hot in a hot crowd and a hot thing, but a lot of those guys like Smojo, Kevin Steen, you're in their 30s, they got families, and the big money's up on the big roster. So I'm kind of wondering how they're going to start feeling about that after they're in NXT for a while and feeling like they can make more money on their own out on the indies than at NXT.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. I mean, that's a tough one. But I got to believe somebody like Finn Balor and even Samoa Joe, when it comes down to what type of deal they have in NXT, I mean, they have to be making more than the other average NXT guys. I mean, Finn came from Japan. I just like to believe there's got to be more money there. It can't just be, you know, I bet you they're at the top of it. But to your point, yeah, I mean, hey, if I'm in NXT, I want to be on the main roster. I don't want to be, you know, sitting in NXT, even though NXT is gaining tread. And as you can see from when the Lucha Dragons came out, man, everybody knows who those NXT guys are at this point. I mean, you got over 1 million subscribers. They know what's going on in NXT.
So let's talk about our favorite boys on Raw. New Day!
Man, you give these guys a hard time, but I love it. I've loved it since day one. I do agree with you from day one. They should have been heels. Coming out with that positivity. I hate to make it racial, but the bottom line is you send a couple of three positive black guys out there and you sit there and try to put them over as babies. I mean, when the crowd's taking a drizzling dump all over it, yeah, it was bound to happen. I like the fact that they still have the titles. I don't know what's going on because they ended up at the end in the Elimination Chamber with Primetime Players, and it just kind of makes me wonder where we're at with that, because I don't even think Cesaro and Kid were on Raw this week.
Man, I don't remember, and I don't care. I don't care what New Day does in the ring. Here's how I look at New Day. Every time New Day does anything, I think about Vince sitting in gorilla position just smiling and telling them to put more jive into the act and being as racist as possible. Going, goddamn, pal, what we need is more jive, Kofi. So... Man, I love watching the New Day. Them coming out in San Antonio and riffing on Tim Duncan is cheap heat, and I don't care. I loved it. But the best part was, I know a lot of people are fast-forwarding through commercials, but the best part is they did a Sonic commercial with Shakes. Man, I couldn't. Big E is my source of comedy. Week in and week out.
Yeah. Go ahead and tell me about the Sonic commercial. Because, I mean, we gotta sell ads on Raw. I mean, that's how it works. So go ahead and tell me about the Sonic commercial with Big E.
They were doing some tryout for some ad, and they had Big Show, and they had Axel and Sandow doing Macho and Hogan. Axel did it. He does a relatively funny Hogan. But then they had New Day, and they started breaking it down, dancing, and Big E does a cabbage patch, which was about as cool as watching me do a cabbage patch. It was just hilarious, and it just seems like whoever's giving them the instruction, it's just, I can imagine that person being the most lily white. If it's Vince or Ryder just being so white, and then Three Brothers trying to interpret it, and goddamn, what does he want? What does Vince want from us? I don't know. I love New Day. I mean, and you're getting him in the ring with some guys that can go, like Cesaro and Kidd. So that's fun once it gets going. But the comedy factor with those guys is off the charts.
Yeah, that I love it. I don't want them to break them up. I like the whole three-man deal right now. I think as heels, it's going to work. I mean, eventually the crowd will start actually, you know, buying them, and they'll turn face. I mean, that's just how the industry works. But I don't know. We'll see what happens, man. I would like to see them just hold the titles. I mean, for a while longer. I believe on the Money in the Bank, if what I had was correct, it's going to be, I don't know if you knew this, it's going to be New Day. It'll be Big E and Xavier Woods against Primetime Players, Titus O'Neil and Darren Young. Did you know that?
Yeah, because I think Kofi's in the actual Money in the Bank. So, yeah, man, those Primetime Players, man, what's his name, Titus O'Neil? That dude is jacked.
Jacked.
I like watching him in the ring. And I heard Darren Young on a podcast not too long ago. He seemed like a real sharp dude. So,
yeah, Darren Young, that was a great interview. I think he did it with Sam Roberts, man. That was really good. I enjoyed listening to that. It was pretty good. But no, going back to that. So let's segue now. What are your thoughts on this Money in the Bank ladder match that's coming up? And I'll remind you who's in it, because I got a feeling you're gonna take a big old drizzling dump on it. Hold on.
Let's go down the list.
All right, so Money in the Bank, as far as I know, Dolph Ziggler.
Okay.
Neville.
Okay.
Roman Reigns.
Okay.
Randy Orton.
Uh-huh.
Kofi Kingston.
Uh-huh.
Sheamus.
Uh-huh.
And I believe Kane. So hold on before I finish that. Now, let's keep in mind there's another Raw in between now and then. So obviously things could change. By the time this thing hits the podcast or hits the airwaves, that Raw will have taken place. So, but again, Ziggler, Neville, Reigns, Orton, Kingston, Sheamus, and Kane in the Money in the Bank ladder match as of today. So, go ahead and as somebody who wasn't in this industry, in this business like me, let's go ahead and hear your drizzling diarrhea dump take on
it. Well, I think you're going to have half the dudes that have no chance of winning do a whole bunch of work, and then some other people are going to scoop in and, pick up the scraps with the victory. So, you know, I mean, that's setting up for Reigns or Orton or somebody like that, while Ziggler and Neville and Kofi and even to some degree Kane put in all the work. So, man, I'm at a point where I'm still not convinced Roman Reigns, he does nothing for me, and I'm so tired of seeing Randy Orton that but one of those guys will probably win that.
Who do you think wins it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't care.
You don't give a rat's what.
Ass.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if anybody listened and seen that the meme with the count. And he gives zero, you know, zero bleeps about stuff. Well, the count, Doc Turner gives zero, and I'll let you figure out the rest. All right. So one more thing to talk about on the whole Money in the Bank pay per view, if you want to call it that. Now, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. Did you happen to see the end of Elimination Chamber when Dean Ambrose basically did the old, a lot of people call it the old Dusty Rhodes deal. Basically, he left with the belt. He didn't really win it. They gave it back to Rollins, but he left with it. And I say that from when Dusty would leave with the belt, and it really wasn't his after, you know, he'd worked Flair. So, did you catch that?
Yeah, so to catch everybody up, in the mid to late 80s, everybody in the arena would leave thinking Dusty won the title, and then the next day it'd come out, oh, the NWA has legislated, and then all of a sudden next Saturday night you'd see Ric Flair holding them gators down on Saturday Night Wrestling, looking only as
he could.
Exactly. Man, here's the other thing. They ain't putting the belt on Ambrose, so I don't give a shit. He ain't ready. And they don't want it on him, so this is all just a killing time until they get something else figured out.
Time until Brock comes back?
Well, that would be nice, huh?
I can tell you, we'll probably talk about this more on future episodes, but one of the things that I kind of want to see is, like, if they're killing time, because I think they are, I'd actually like to see Dean Ambrose as champion. Something about him, like, you know, you hear guys talk about he's got that it. You know, he's got it. There's something about Dean Ambrose that I really, really like. And I'd actually like to see him win it eventually, although I don't think this is the time to do so. But, you know, to keep it on Seth Rollins a heel, that's fine. Brock's going to eventually come back. I don't know if they're setting it up for Brock to then take it from him. I can see that. I've also thought to myself, What if Owens and comes out of this thing with Cena, and Owens, you know, he's no part of it. He doesn't win, and Cena ends up, you know, as the U.S. champion still, and they don't put it on Owens. What would you think about Owens and eventually Brock together?
Man, I don't know. I hadn't given that one much thought. I mean, they've built Brock up to the point right now where he almost has to work handicap matches to make it seem fair. But, you know, I honestly hadn't seen enough of Owens or Steen or whatever he's going to call himself to make that determination. But, shit, the thing is, Brock's got to have somebody that's size. You can't roll Rockstar Spud in the ring with Brock Lesnar.
Why not?
It ain't going to
work. Just kidding.
It ain't going to work. So, I mean, Owens is a big enough dude that it would be at least credible. But I heard that... what was the thing from the other night that it's going to be Stone Cold and Brock at WrestleMania next year?
I don't know if I'm buying that just yet. I heard I heard it on the podcast, and I don't know if I see it. I tell you what, they would sell that stadium out. That would. If there's any concern about putting, 110,000 in there? What'd you say about that amount?
Yeah, 100 to 110.
If there's any concern about putting 100,000 people in that building, you put Brock Lesnar and Stone Cold on their thing, you'll have standing room only, 120,000, and they'd be printing money, brother.
Yeah, but I don't think Stone Cold is going to do that because I think he set a standard for himself that he knows he can't get to,
right.
And he can't get to with Brock for sure. So,
right.
He's not going to go out there and cup his ear to the crowd and drop a leg drop and wander off and think he's the greatest like somebody else.
No. I kind of agree with that. That's the part that it got me. I really don't know if Stone Cold is going to say, yeah, I'll come back and do that. It just seems let me say this. That's one of those things where I don't care who speculates about it. I don't care how much it's on Twitter. I don't care how much it's all over the internet. The deal is I won't believe that until they actually announce it. That's just how I feel, and that's that. I just can't see it happening. So, all right. So now, yeah, I got to ask you a couple of things about are we done with WWE?
I hope so, man. It's bad comedy and too long, and I don't even watch SmackDown and whatever.
You mean you don't like Booker on commentary?
Booker is funny. I like
Booker. Man, Booker is hilarious. That dude had me rolling weekly when I watch it.
But Booker had me laughing back in the day when it was King Booker.
King Booker? King Booker? Hey, that really showed his versatility, though. I mean, you know, think about all the characters and whatnot that he's played from the
G.I. Bro
back in Global. I'm going to have Rod Price tell me about that one day. We're going to have Rod Price on, folks, eventually, and we'll talk to him. And I just want to know, and I'm talking about the Rod Price from Global. Yes, the Rod Price that Paul Heyman dropped on the WWE podcast. I know him quite well, and I actually look forward to talking to him on this show in the near future. So we will go there. But I want to know about that because I don't remember. I watch Global. But I don't remember the whole G.I. Bro gimmick. I just can't remember. I remember a lot of stuff from that era with Global, but just not that for whatever reason. I remember him being there. I just don't remember that gimmick. So, but Booker's great on commentary, and they really need to stick with him more often. I mean, I actually could see him and just Michael Cole, although I do love JBL. But, yeah. So, moving along, I gotta ask you Let's put the good, real good stuff in the middle. Ring of Honor. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
Man, I got to tell you something right now. I'm real late to the game on this Ring of Honor stuff because we don't have Sinclair here.
We just got the syndication about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
We just started being able to get it over the airwaves.
So we haven't been able to see the product. And honestly, you know, we're 40-year-old men with jobs and kids. And
39.
I don't have time to be on YouTube and tape trading and whatever else. So I hadn't seen Ring of Honor. I've heard a lot about it, but I hadn't seen it. So I got to tell you, you put a show into 60 minutes.
Yep.
You present it as a serious endeavor.
Yep.
Within the confines of realizing that this is a work.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I've heard a lot of people say that their production values are not that great. Didn't bother me one bit.
Yeah.
Man, I turned on there, saw the Briscoes. Got to see them for the first time. Those guys are legit. Got to see them. And for one of the ones I saw a couple weeks ago was against War Machine. Those two teams beat the piss out of one another. you bring out Jay Lethal. That guy is a star.
Moose,
that guy has star written all over him. It's presented well. You know, they're making the jump to Destination America.
Yep.
So they're going to pick up big markets that Sinclair didn't get into. You know, I think you really got to ask yourself if that outfit hadn't moved squarely into the number two position. And good for them, because, man, I'm starting to look forward to that 60 minutes. And 60 minutes is such a great block of time for wrestling, because just the minute I'm thinking, man, this is awesome, it's over and I want more, instead of 3 hours of Raw where I'm like, God, I've been watching this all night.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. It's 1 hour of true action-packed, you know, really, really, really solid wrestling. And really, I mean, the stuff these guys do, the Briscoes, if you haven't seen them and you're listening to this, which I doubt that would be possible.
You doubt that they're listening to this? No. You doubt that they've seen the Briscoes?
If you're listening to this, you've seen the Briscoes. I'm just gonna put that out there. And that those dudes are, they're so good. I mean, from the promos to the in-ring work, it's just all just really, really, really solid. It's so impressive.
Here's a game for you. If you haven't seen them and you tune into ROH and you watch them for the first time, try to guess what state in America they come from. And I guarantee you, you'll be wrong.
Yeah. Okay, so here, that's a good thing. Google that. No, I'm sorry. No, don't Google. Don't Google that. I want you to try to figure out, if you have never seen them or don't know who they are, even if you know who they are and don't know what state they're from in the United States, I want to see who can figure it out without Googling it, and send a tweet to the Book in the Territory podcast. That's at BTT_podcast. If you think you can get that, again, let's play the honesty game. I know this world of professional wrestling, honesty doesn't exist, but let's see who can get where they're from, because I guarantee you, I could have never guessed in a million years without knowing them. And it just amazed me when I found out what state they were from. So, but those dudes are awesome,
man. But here's the thing: I read not too long ago that they turned down an offer to go to NXT, and man, I am so glad, because once I got to see those guys, and they're really, really, really good.
Right.
First thought I had was it would have taken all of 2 weeks. First week they show up, Vince sees them. Goddamn, pal, we can't do anything with that. Second week they come out, they're the Bushwhacker Juniors. They would have been the long-lost sons of Butch and Luke, and they would have been a comedy act licking people's underarms and stomping around.
Oh, yeah. No, that's funny you say that. You mean it would have been a worse gimmick than a Red Rooster when Vince pulled that one off?
Yeah, Gobbledygooker or Red Rooster.
What about the Repo Man?
Repo Man, Bastion Booger.
Yeah, man, we had some good ones back in the day with WWE, man. That was pretty good. When I say we, I say relatively speaking. I never worked for WWE, so yeah, just take that for what it is. You're right. The Briscoes, they're unreal. When you watch Ring of Honor, it's something to watch. When you hit the nail on the head, that War Machine Briscoes matchup a few weeks ago was unreal. I mean, those guys got after it.
And here's the thing I'm thinking about. So they're on Destination America, and I just saw the numbers after the first week of them both being on the Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And they didn't draw as much as TNA. But so what? They're also on every Sinclair station around, so they're getting double dipped there.
Mm-hmm.
I think their numbers have to start creeping up or be higher than TNA. Second of all, they do something that TNA doesn't do. TNA goes right back to those same 250 people in Orlando or wherever it is they do that.
What are the guys on Review and Impact called?
Hillbilly.
I can't. Go ahead. I cut you off. My bad.
But ROH travels around and draws 200 people, 300 people in every town. And that's hard to do relative to going back to the same place and drawing the same 200 people for a TV show. So
no, you're darn right about that. I mean, you know, I worked independents. I know how it is. You travel around. Most of the independents I worked didn't have TV, but you travel around, and hey, it ain't easy to put butts in the seats. I mean, it's just how it is. And you're right. They travel around. I mean, they got TV, but still, even with TV doesn't mean, just because you got TV doesn't mean you're gonna draw a crowd. All right, let's get that right.
Should we ask Dixie about that?
I'll leave that alone. But oh man. But yeah, no, you make a good point. They draw. So, all right. So if we're gonna talk about the good with Ring of Honor, New Japan.
Oh man, see, that's another show right there. It's an hour long. By the time I'm like getting into this thing, they're gone, and I want more. Because again, look, the backstage interview segments are kind of goofy, but.
They're goofy because they're speaking Japanese and you got to read the subtitles. And, I mean, that makes it difficult.
I'm a hillbilly, so okay.
You can't read.
Right. It doesn't cross cultures. But man, when the bell rings, it is presented as a legitimate undertaking. Hey, look, I don't want to watch two guys break each other's arms. I don't watch MMA. I like the fact that it's a work. I like seeing a good work, and I like seeing an athletic snug work.
Yeah, me too.
So, man, you see some of the stuff that we've seen over the past couple weeks. They had a tag team with the four old dudes that still laid their shit in.
Oh, my God.
Ricochet on there a couple of weeks doing his thing and just being an all-around stud in the ring. I mean, that roster is packed over there with guys that can go. Because, yeah. I mean, I hadn't seen Okada or Tanahashi or Takahashi
right
in weeks.
Yep.
And I'm entertained every week. And then you pull out the Bullet Club and AJ Styles. Those people lose Finn Balor. They don't miss a step.
They don't blink.
Here's the other thing. I don't care that it's a year old. As long as I'm smart enough not to go look up what's happening now, it feels fresh to me.
Yeah. No. Yeah, you. That's right. That was the one thing we talked about when we first started catching it on Access was, I think when we first started tuning in, it was like shows from January of 2013, and we were in January of 2015. So, man, we were watching two-year-old stuff, and we joked about it back and forth, but, man, they had us freaking eating out of their hands, man. We were... And it was unreal, you know, to see watching guys go at it like, you know, Tanahashi, you know, Okada. I mean, those guys got after it. You sit there and watch, and you're like, you know, you sit there. People like to call pro wrestling fake. Well, you can stick it if that's your spiel on it. But you watch New Japan, even Ring of Honor, ain't nothing fake about that. If you think you can take that whooping, you got another thing coming. Most people ain't taking that whooping like that. That's just how it is.
Most people would end up like Carino's kid on ROH.
That was awesome. That was great.
Somebody got their ass kicked.
So you saying when Moose was swinging him from side to side, you enjoyed that?
When I was watching that, I envisioned that's what it would look like if I got powerbombed by somebody, too. So, yeah, that was some funny shit.
Oh, my God. Moose slung him around like a piece of old meat. Like he was slinging around some ground chuck.
But here's the thing that, man, I don't expect 70-year-old Vince to get this straight. But, you know, again, we're grown men. We got wives. We got kids. We got jobs. And you talk about an hour of ROH a week, an hour of New Japan a week, 2 hours of Impact, 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown, an NXT program. I can't get to all that shit.
It's hard.
So, and it's good. I don't feel compelled to watch it. I'll only come on here and talk about it. You know what I need? I need wrestling promotions fighting for my entertainment time. Screw the dollar. It's the time. Because TV, time is money.
Yep.
So I find myself more and more making sure I am not missing a second of Ring of Honor. I'm not missing a second of New Japan.
Yeah.
For some reason.
You watch Impact. We're going to get to that.
I watch Impact and That's more of probably a sadomasochistic take on things. And I watch Raw, but like I said, I don't remember much of it, and I ain't watched SmackDown in years.
Yeah, I actually usually try to catch SmackDown. I did not catch last night's episode, which would be, what, January 4th? Yeah, June 4th. So I have no clue what happened. I was just too busy. But I generally catch – I'm like you. I catch Raw. I catch Impact, Ring of Honor, New Japan. Heck, I even catch the occasional independent show when I can. So, I mean, that's eating up every bit of time I have because you and I both work for a living. You know, if we got to pay them bills – that's just how it works. I hate to sound like Stone Cold, but they are gimmicks and they are bills at the same time. So I guess they're gimmicks, but they're real. You got to pay them. So, yeah, I mean, they're fighting for our dollar. You know, that's actually the thing about NXT that's good. It's only an hour.
See, that's
1 hour. And I guarantee you, I bet you, even though SmackDown, we never talked about this, even though SmackDown is on Thursday night on Sci-Fi, whatever, I think so, there's less people that have access to the network on NXT, but I bet you the numbers are comparable. Maybe we can look that up though. Hour programming.
So you're giving me a research project, is what you're
giving
saying.
Me a research project. You're a good researcher. You're a numbers guy, researcher. So take that and we can discuss that on the next one because I really think that would be an interesting discussion.
You know what? I was just sitting here thinking, and we were talking about Ring of Honor and New Japan, I like that, so I ain't here to book their territory. They're doing a fine job of their own, but if I'm going to book for Vince...
Here we go.
Maybe
booking the territory.
Maybe
printing that cash.
Maybe Vince ought to get his old ass out of the gym or the HGH store.
Oh, God.
And get back on TV, because he may be one of the more compelling characters they got, because Stephanie's a great heel. I mean...
Awesome.
So if you can...
She's got it. She's got the heel down.
But, you know, the problem is that, you know... With Heyman being off TV because Brock's off TV, man, there's just I need more people that know how to really turn the crank of the crowd and be a heel.
Yeah, yeah. No. I agree. But you know what's funny? Everybody sits there and, there you go, you're going to hit me with it. Everybody sits there and talks about Cena.
God dang.
Here we go. Go ahead. Tell everybody what you call me.
You're a Cena mark.
No.
He wrestles
I respect what he does in the longevity that he has. This guy's been doing it for a long time. It's not a fluke. It's hard when you walk out there and you're getting crapped on by a crowd and to keep doing your job. And that dude does it weekly. But I love what they've done with Owens. They've tried to make Cena more of a face, and I think it's working as I watch it. Like him stepping on the U.S. title, you know, the symbolism behind that, it makes Cena a heel. So I know we're getting off track, and you're talking about you're ready for Heyman to come back and whatnot. But Owens has a potential, especially if something happens like this speculation with Brock.
But hold on, Cena's not a bad dude. Cena's a great guy from I mean, I don't know. I don't hang out and drink beer with him, so I don't know. But he seems really good dude. But he's out there in his little tennis shoes and his jean
shorts.
Nothing
wrong with that.
Jean shorts.
He's printing that cash, man.
And he's made a ton of money. But you know what? Limp Bizkit sold a ton of records, and it don't make them a great rock band. So it don't printing a lot of money don't make him a wrestler that I want to watch. I don't hate the guy.
I hear you.
Just, at some point, somebody's got to beat him.
I hear you. No, I understand. Well, somebody did beat him. He just lost.
Oh, but you don't think
he's non-title. He just lost. Hey,
right.
He just lost.
Non-title, right? Wink, wink.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I do hear
man,
you.
Man, enough of this shit. Let's talk about Dixie.
All right. Well, maybe not Dixie, but Impact. So go ahead. Go ahead. You told me what you didn't like, but I got to hear it again.
Man, first of all, Dixie and I have something in common.
Oh, God.
Neither Dixie or I have ever made a damn dime in the wrestling business. The difference is, though, I'm not spending my inheritance trying to make a dime. So,
boy,
not that I have one, but anyway, man. So they got jobbed out by Destination America, and there ain't no way to positive spin that. And you, hopefully you guys saw MVP's tweets, and he ain't happy about it. Man, it just reminds me of watching the last year of WCW sometimes when I watch TNA. Not necessarily as bad, because the TNA roster has some guys I want to watch, but they're always doing something dumb, or they're not even on the show. So I watched this week's show.
Mm-hmm.
Bram is a superstar. Where was he?
I don't know. Didn't you say he got left in England when he came back?
I don't know. I think Dixie forgot to bring him back to the United States.
Yeah.
MVP is arguably one of the three best guys that they have. He can talk. He ain't afraid to say some stuff when he gets out there, and he can go in the ring. He wasn't on last week's show. And he's doing the big old J-O-B this week. You know, if the BDC is going to be taken seriously, at some point they got to beat somebody down because they're a clan. Get it?
Yeah, I agree. No, you got – I got a lot to say about that, but I'll let you finish.
I can't – you and I argue about this till the cows come home. Rockstar Spud is not believable.
I actually think he is.
I think I could take him. I'm not tough. Even though I do resemble, if you're at home and you want to picture what I look like, I look like a Caucasian version of Bobby Lashley, basically.
Minus the muscles.
But I think I could take Rockstar Spud, so I just don't believe it. Although he, you know, his little program with EC3 was gold back in the day. You know, Bobby Roode is stuck in a tag team thing with the Wolves and Aries, and it's entertaining and all, but when I see Bobby Roode, I think Arn Anderson, or better.
Yeah,
because he's bigger than Arn Anderson was, it looks like to me. So it's just like, man, they don't put the right people in the right place. You want to leave the belt on Angle, I don't like it, but I can accept it, because I'm pretty sure the network wants it that way, and they're calling the shots.
You think that?
I don't know.
You think the network really wants Angle to have it? Seriously.
But if you're at Destination America and you're rolling out Hillbilly Blood and Barbecue Masters and Tobacco Chewing Contest or whatever else, they Ghost Whisperers, they put on that show, who do they know on that roster who has mainstream appeal that they think they can sell to advertisers other than Kurt Angle?
Not MVP after he cut that thug promo on DA on Destination.
So he gives them visibility that they can go out and market that program and say Kurt Angle, and hopefully people remember him differently than I do with his little sheriff's hat on that Stone Cold gave him back on Raw.
Greatest thing
15
ever.
Years ago. But so you know, they're in a tough spot there. You know, you got a great heel in Eric Young that's got everybody on the roster mad at him.
I'm an Eric Young mark.
He choked out a veteran with his fake leg. He broke Lashley's ankle, quote. He's out there in I Quit matches with Angle. That guy has been on a run lately. And EC3 is a guy that I think you can make money with. So what I don't understand is the roster. I like James. Well, we'll get into James Storm in a minute, but I like James Storm. But he's been languishing with that cast of fools he's been running with for the past few months. So you don't
like the Revolution?
No, you got who does?
I have yet to figure out what the point of it is.
What are they revolting against?
I don't know. I mean, it's him and. It's a weird mix.
He's got a cross.
You got a cowboy. You got an Indian guy.
What is it? The Village People.
what's his name? Manic. He's actually a heck of a worker. He works independence. I don't think he works under a mask though. I don't know what that faction is, but you know, while they're still doing the whistle woo-hoo, when they come out, we haven't seen them all in probably close to a month now. So maybe that means they're killing them.
Thank you, Revolution.
So. No, that's good. I would be good with that. But go ahead.
You got a roster that, I mean, the guys I just pointed out, they got a lot of guys that can go. I mean, it's pretty easy. It ain't that hard. You keep Ken Anderson off TV.
Oh, God.
So he's quit sparing everybody to death. And you put these people in the right combinations with some good angles, and you get somewhere. But
all right, so let's talk about one then, because this is one we've discussed a little bit. Because I like factions. You know, I mean, I'm a 70s, 80s guy as far as when I was in my younger years watching the sport. And you know, seeing the Horsemen, we both grew up on that. Even beyond the Horsemen, you grew up in the world-class territory. And think about Skandar Akbar and what
Devastation Incorporated.
You know, so we're big on the whole faction thing. I mean, I think it can get out of hand, but I think actually TNA has something good with the BDC. But here's the problem. They could do so much more, and there's a lot of talent. I'm not knocking the guys. I'm knocking the booking of it, because after all, we're booking the territory here. I'm knocking how they booked it, because you know MVP and low key, it doesn't get any better. I mean, these guys are great, great heels, and the thing is with the Rising, I'm not complaining about them, but Hold on. Let me say this. And I'll let you go through. So much more could be done with that angle, because you got a great heel faction. You got some faces. I won't call them great. I mean, I really like Galloway. I don't know the other two guys really well enough to comment on them at this point. But there's so much that can be done with that whole angle. But it starts with, I need to see the BDC not losing all the time on TV. They're heels. Their job is to screw the baby face. Again, okay, I know people will say, oh, that makes it too predictable, Mike, and you can't do that all the time. I don't want to hear that. They are heels. I need to see them lose. I see MVP come across and cutting these thug tirades, which he was right on the money if you didn't see it a couple of weeks ago. I mean, when he said you using the word thug for another word and he dropped that word, that was brilliant. So anyway, I need to see him lose. So I'll let you go ahead and you can take a dump on the Rising if that's what you want to do or whatever else. But that angle, there's so much more that can be done with that. And that actually is probably one of my bigger problems with Impact, because you'll talk about Mickie James in a second, but my biggest problem is probably that angle. I want to see more out of that, along with I'm an Eric Young mark, but we'll get there maybe later.
Man, it ain't that I want to take a dump on the Rising. I just don't care. And at some point, the BDC...
You don't care because the BDC keeps losing.
The job squad is what they're turning
into.
There
you go.
All right. Well, I can't hold this shit in it any longer.
Oh, God.
I watched the latest Impact, and again, I said it earlier, I don't pop out loud for much, but you want to talk about something that pissed me off.
Okay.
So...
Let's hear it. Come on, bring it. Let's book the territory.
Well, I'm ready to book everything. So... We're at a point in our society, and let me just say this, rightfully so, we're finally getting some widespread acceptance that domestic abuse should have zero tolerance.
Zero. That includes the wrestling business. There does not need to be angles booked where we are harming women.
So I don't like, I mean, I guess I giggled a little bit when Bubba put Dixie through a table, but I don't like intergender matches. I don't even like female matches for the most part.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we've been through this for the past year in the NFL and Ray Rice and blah, blah, blah. And it's really come to terms that the majority of people have finally crawled out of their caves and find domestic abuse to be, a bad thing.
Yeah,
so we
pretty
get,
much.
We've been strung along with this angle for the past, seems like 2 years. With anyway, James Storm has got a crush on Mickey, and Magnus is involved, and he had a guitar, and he's out there in front of the hillbillies in Orlando and those swamp folk, and he's trying to heal out of them, and they're cheering him on, which maybe not everybody, I guess, is as enlightened as the two of us. Anyway, he gets her a quote in this past Impact. He gets her a down to the studio in Nashville, and it's all set up where he wants her to drop Magnus and join the Revolution, which is probably a triple entendre for some James Storm action. And she's like, no.
Well, let's just say it. I mean, he basically hits on her and tells her to leave.
Leave your man.
He's trying to break up a happy home, folks. Right. Leave your man. Come with me. He doesn't have anything for you. And yeah, so not.
I'm okay with that though, because I mean, you know, words are words.
Okay.
Words can hurt though, Mike.
Yeah.
So they're walking out talking, and okay, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. And I'm like, just sitting there, and the next thing that happens is he pushes Mickey James off the platform into, well, I don't know, on their grainy TV, whoever's filming this, into the subway tracks, and you can hear trains coming in the background. God almighty. So let me get this straight. 10 minutes ago, he was asking her to leave her man and kid and come join the revolution. And once spurned, he pushed her in front of a train.
Pushed her in front of a train.
Let me say this. I like James Storm, and I realize he's just doing what he's told. But holy shit, who lets that get to TV? I mean, that's one of those things. I'm sure there's a writing team, and Billy Corgan's a rat in a cage, and Dixie's running around, but not one person thinks that's a bad idea in light of everything that's going on in society today. So then they have a chance. TNA, what is it? You read or something that they're tweeting out updates on her condition and kayfabing this thing. You sorry sacks of shit.
I was on Twitter yesterday. I hadn't been on in, I don't know, felt like a day and a half. And so, I didn't see Impact when it happened live because I was at my son's baseball game. And live, or when it was televised. And, yeah, I'm going through Twitter and I see, Mickey James, some kind of recovery report on Mickey James and how she was doing. And I don't know, I thought to myself, wait, did something happen to Mickey James during the episode? So
yeah, her butt got bigger. No.
You got a problem with women that are healthy, I'll call it. But they were tweeting about her condition like she was really injured, and I'm just like, wait, did something happen? And then I don't know, maybe an hour later, I finally get through the episode, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me! So it's freaking part of the angle that they're tweeting about. I'm an Impact fan. I mean, you and I both watch it weekly,
every week.
We ain't missed it since when they launched, middle of January. Since they relaunched on Destination America in the middle of January, I have not, and Doc has not missed an episode of Impact. We've watched all of them. So, which means that we must like it a little, because we weren't shooting a podcast at the time. We were just watching it. But yeah, I don't know what's going on. I mean, you sit there and Mickey James got pushed in front of a train, and James Storm laughed at it. It was actually funny in a way. And I know he's just taking orders from his boss. I mean, I've been on the indies, and I know how it is. You know, sometimes pros ask you to do something stupid, and you do it. It is what it is. He's under contract, so he went along with it, and that's part of the angle. But, yeah, it just –
I could see James Storm saying, you want me to do what? All right. I mean, shit. If it's this hard to get Magnus and James Storm in the ring together, it ain't that difficult.
No, you make a good point.
They already
about that.
Hit one of the guys already hit the other guy over the head with the guitar, and one of the guys made a blankie for the other guy's kid.
Yeah.
That's enough to get in the ring in my book.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. This
is a company that at one time had the wherewithal to have Jim Cornette involved. And they decided maybe he's a little too wrestling for us, so let's bring in others.
Vince Russo, you mean?
Vince Russo, Corgan.
It is what it is. Hey, give them time. Look, this week's episode was terrible. We didn't get a new one, right?
No, it was the Slammiversary.
I can't remember. But no, here's my thing, though. The episode, I don't know if that was Corgan's first episode, but the episode where Eric Young rips off Melendez's leg, I loved it. I heard there were people that took offense to it, but to me,
it was awesome.
Popped. It was brilliant. I mean,
I'm a guy who just got mad at pushing a bitch down in front of a subway.
But it's okay to rip off a vet's leg, right?
But a veteran's fake leg is fair game. I got some. I don't draw straight lines on what I get upset about. They're curved and it's a gray area.
No. I hear you.
That was some great heel work right there.
Yeah. No. I totally agree with you. I'm all for that. So, one more thing on Impact, because we're gonna probably talk about this on the next show. So Rockstar Spud, I don't care what you think about him. That little dude's promo was great. You can't say it wasn't. He spoke with authority and emphasis for a little dude like that. The way he cut that promo. Now, I'm not talking about the tag match because I know you want to take a drizzling diarrhea dump on it. I'm talking about the promo with him and Angle and EC3 in the ring. That dude, that you want to know why he's there? It's because he's got a good character. He can cut a very nice promo. Trust me, it's not as easy as it looks. And the guy can work. I mean, don't knock it. Just because he's 170 pounds doesn't mean he can't work. I know plenty of 170-pound guys that can go.
Oh, there's 170-pound guys in Rockstar Spud that could kick my ass. I'm just saying it ain't believable that he's going to kick EC3's ass or Kurt Angle's ass. If you want to put him in a match, he's the same problem I had with Rey Mysterio all those years. You're going to put Rey Mysterio in with the Big Show, and come on.
Well, I think
wrestling has insulted my intelligence for years, and part of me must like it because I've been watching this shit for
You act like you're a doctor or something.
I've been watching this for 35 years, but I mean, at some point, you can't tell me. Like, if he wants to get out there and play in the ring with Mandrews or whatever, okay, that sounds fun. But if he beats Kurt Angle for the title.
Well, that ain't going to happen.
Exactly.
You know it ain't.
Exactly.
Actually, I kind of believe, I don't know, but I really believe that he cashed in the X title basically so that they can get it off of him. They're just giving it back to him and so that they can then throw it back out there.
Maybe Kenny King will win it so that he can have it back again.
I'm good with that. I really like Kenny King. He cuts a decent promo. He really works solid in the ring. Kenny King, I really like him. He's really, really good. But no, I think there's no way Angle loses to Rockstar Spud. It just ain't going to happen. The only reason I would say that he may is, who knows, they may do some gimmick with I wouldn't put this past TNA. EC3 comes in, disrupts the match because he knows he can't beat Angle. So he messes up, makes sure Spud wins some kind of way, and then that way EC3 gets a better route to the title. I don't know if that'll happen, but if I had to take a stupid man's guess, that would be what it would be.
I could definitely see that. Here's the other problem I had. You know, so we're talking about ROH and they're getting after it. You talk about New Japan, and it's the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
They roll in on Impact and show the top five contenders, and Rockstar Spud is five. And I can think of five dudes without taxing my brain at all that would pin Rockstar Spud in under 10 seconds.
You're talking about in TNA?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, Eric Young, come on.
He was on the list in last year. That
dude, but no, my point is, you think it's because they need to keep the belt on Angle. Screw that, man. God. Eric Young is so good.
But here's the thing.
So good.
But here's the thing. If you're Dixie now, and you've already kind of been bent over by Destination America.
Oh, God.
Stop listening to him. Do what you want to do. If you're going to go out your way. Apparently, I saw something on the old interwebs that James Storm said, hey, Panda Energy's got billions of dollars. Who cares if we're not on Destination America? We'll be all right.
Whoa. You really saw that?
Yeah.
Huh.
I saw it this morning when I was doing my extensive show preparation.
Oh, that took you all of 15 minutes? Not even, right? No. I didn't know that. Are you dead, man?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, Dixie's got inheritance money from the oil and gas, but hey, you need television to get that word out because they don't travel either.
No, that's true. That's true. That's true. So, no, I agree with you on that. Hey, so what else we got for everybody today? I mean, we got Impact done. We complained about Mickey James in the BDC, and I want to see Eric Young with the title. And I told you how much I love Rockstar Spud's promo. I don't know. What else we got today?
I don't know. You've been listening to any podcasts worth a darn lately?
Well, yeah. Hey, so Cornette, have you heard his new one?
Yeah, I just listened to that one this morning because, again, extensive show preparation.
Well, no, he cuts a little promo on Russo again, and it's hilarious. Jim Cornette, you'll never hear this, but if you do, we love you. You entertain us on hours on end. It's brilliant. So yeah, I mean, I really love I love when he cuts his promos, but he cut one on Russo today that it was pretty good. So it's not that I don't like Russo. I really don't care. Whatever.
But it's fun to watch Corny get hot.
Right. It's fun to listen to Cornette get hot over Russo.
Here's what I do. Here's my normal MO when I'm listening to Cornette's podcast is I get on the treadmill and start running so that I can maintain my White Lashley figure.
Of course.
And I listen to Cornette.
Yeah.
And when he starts cutting promos, it's my test to make sure I don't laugh and fall my ass straight off the treadmill. Because half the time when he gets going and gets hot about something, it is gold. So I ain't trying to tell nobody to quit listening to us and go listen to Corny. But if you can do both, it's definitely worth your time.
Yeah, Cornette is it's just great, man. Listening to him weekly, he rarely has what's called a bad show, to be honest. So. But no, I listen to him. He's probably the latest one I've caught, and it was enjoyable. You know, I always like listening to him. I mean, we listen to a lot of the MLW stuff and Stone Cold and whatnot, and it's really good. I know you're a huge Jericho fan. You love Talk Is Jericho.
Yeah.
But
it's a two way race to the bottom between Jericho and Taz about just who.
Man,
who gets me? I'm at a loss for words. That never happens. God,
getting all hot. You didn't want to get this hot.
Didn't want to get this hot.
But for Christ's sakes, hey. So here's the thing. I did want to ask you about. We're talking about Cornette. Did you catch? You catch his thing on Tommy Rogers?
Yeah, I did hear about that. And you know, I know you. You know, you had the opportunity. I certainly saw Tommy Rogers with Bobby Fulton and the Fantastics when I was a kid here in the Dallas area watching World Class wrestling. But I know you had an opportunity to have a little bit more personal interaction with Tommy. You want to tell us a little bit about your memories of Tommy?
Yeah. So like, this was back when Tommy had worked a little bit for ECW. I was working for a promotion out of New Orleans that was booking Tommy and at the time Rod Price, a couple other guys. I think even One Man Gang was on a couple of cards. But Tommy was a real nice guy. I mean, like, he's probably one of the only guys I ever met when I was working the indies in the mid to late 90s and very early 2000s that was shorter than me. Tommy couldn't have been 5'7". I don't know. We can look it up online right now. But, I mean, that's my take. He probably was about 5'7". And the only reason I say that is I'm between 5'8 and 5'9", and I know he was shorter than me for a fact. So, yeah, I met Tommy back in, it's probably around 1998, 99, sometime like that. And it's amazing because I wish I had the videos from this. They got lost in Hurricane Katrina, to what I know. But, yeah, he put me over. So it was really... It was really strange, you know, because a guy like that who even with the little bit he was still doing at the time, with coming off of the ECW work that he was doing, yeah, he put me over. I mean, he was really nice. He was real professional. I don't know. It's funny because I remember it. One of the cards that he worked with me, actually, I helped the promoter out. I had to pick him up from the airport. You don't even know this. We hadn't talked about it yet. So I picked Tommy up from the airport and rode with him to the promoter to the show and so he started telling me the story. You remember the tag team tournament, the Crockett Cup?
Yeah.
All right, so, I'm a mark. Just like, if you want to call wrestling fans marks, great. I was a mark as a kid, and even going in as an adult in the business, I was still a mark. And so, you know, I meet him. I had already met him, so this was the second time I had met him. And we were gonna work each other that night, so we were talking, and he's in my car. And so I started asking him about stuff. I was like, hey, man, what are your recollections of the Crockett Cup when you worked? And I was there actually as a kid. I think that might have been 1985 or 86. So I'd have been about 10 or 11 years old. And Tommy started talking about the cup and that night. I think I want to say, and I'd have to look this up, but I think Tully and Arn put them over that night. And then you're talking about the Briscoes and they would be the Bushwhackers. The Sheepherders and the Fantastics had a double DQ, and he talked about that. It was funny because he really liked the match with Tully and Arn, but he talked about then the Sheepherder match, and he said, man, He said it was a cluster. And I remember that match and being there, sitting in the crowd. My uncle brought me that night. And it was fun to talk to him because, you know, again, we're all fans at heart. And to talk to Tommy and meet him and get to know him, you know, just in a little bit that I did, it was really cool. I mean, he was real professional. Again, a really, really short guy, but he was thick. He was stocky. But yeah, he actually put me over twice in singles matches back in the late 90s. Just a real good guy. I mean, had no problem doing it. And I was a nobody, still a nobody, just an indie guy. He put me over, and it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun getting to meet him. You know, when you meet somebody that you met or saw as a kid. So that's a little bit about him. So rest in peace, Tommy. When I have Rod Price on, Rod Price knew him really well. I'm going to talk to Rod and just see what, also get his thoughts on it. I know he and I exchanged messages this week, and he said, yeah, man, you never know. You just never know when it's your time. And not sure what happened, but not my business. Really don't care how it happened. But, you know, I hope his family and everything's well taken care of. And, you know, I hope Tommy rests in peace. But, yeah, that's a little bit about me and meeting Tommy Rogers about 15 years ago now, 16 years ago now. I don't know. You watched him in World Class. Did you enjoy his work?
Man, yeah, we didn't get the Rock and Roll Express here. So they were kind of like what I had understood as seeing the Aftermags, PWI and that. They were kind of like the poor man's Rock and Roll Express. But man, on Corny's podcast, he said that the Fantastics were better workers than the Rock and Roll Express. They just didn't have Morton selling I mean, they had the little girls going nuts, but not like to the degree that the Rock and Roll Express did. So yeah, I remember them.
Yeah,
man, they that pop a crowd here. I mean, that was kind of in the middle area towards the end of when World Class was at that fever pitch.
Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely remember them and doing some work with the Midnight Express. So
yeah, it was that was really good times, man. That's back when man, we were hook, line, and sinker, dude. Our noses were wide open to the business. We were kids and watching it, and it was what it was. It was really good times. Those times will never be back. But he was right. Guy was very talented. I mean, he really took care of me in the ring. I'll never forget that. And you just never know. And I remember when I read that I got a text at work that, hey man, Tommy Rogers passed away. And it was like, what? You got to be kidding. And nope, it was true. And so rest in peace, Tommy. And and that's that. So. I don't know. I don't have anything else today. We gotta do our due diligence and see what happens this week and see if anything we talked about gets better. But other than that, I think we're about wrapped up here. What do you think?
Yeah, man. I had a whole lot of fun talking about a whole bunch of bullshit. So hey, man, I ain't ever worked a match. I ain't no bumps on my bump card ever. But I watched the sport of professional wrestling for over 30 years. And I spend a lot of my free time watching this stuff and listening to podcasts. So, hey, man, this stuff is all in my opinion. So if you don't like it, I don't give a shit.
Well, Uncle Gavin Weston is sitting over here, and he's been itching to say something the whole time. And Uncle Gavin, you're not a wrestling fan, right?
Man, you two boys got so many stupid issues. You some dumb son of bitches believing that bull crap. I mean, damn, man, it's been fake. They've been talking about it's fake. What's his name? Vince McMahon, the guy, WWF guy. What's his name, man? Doc, what's his name, boy?
Yeah, that's Vince McMahon, Gavin.
Yeah, that stupid son of bitch. He been talking for years. He admitted years ago that this damn thing ain't real. And you two stupid son of bitches still watching it. What the hell's wrong with you boys? I mean, damn, man, you want to watch a real sport? You tune into that NFL, National Football League, folks. That's some real shit there. They even got, what's that, y'all call them damn guys heels? Heels, yeah, that heel bullshit. Well, that guy, Roger Goodell, he's a straight shooting heel. That son of bitch will call it like he sees it. He got people hating him. I mean, I'm telling you, man, you can disagree with me, but that's a real man sport. That professional wrestling bullshit is for the goddamn birds. You boys need to go somewhere with that.
Gavin, we'll take you to an indie show sometime and smarten you up, but I have a hard time disagreeing about the Roger Goodell Hill angle there, buddy.
Yeah, but it's real. What's it? They call that what they call that in the wrestling business? I hear you guys talking about it sometime. That's a shoot. Well, that's a shoot. That guy's a straight shooter. He's shooting. He's real. I mean, it is what it is. That son of a bitch is crazy. I tell you what, I wouldn't want to meet him in a dark alley. I'd probably pummel him, but yeah. But that's some real sport. You guys need to tune into that and leave that, what you call this stupid show, Booking the Territory? Yeah, kiss my ass. You can come book this, you stupid son of a bitch. But anyway, y'all. Damn, man, that's my thoughts on you stupid idiots and professional wrestling.
Thanks, Gavin. We appreciate it.
Well, I really didn't expect that, Uncle Gavin. So he ain't my uncle.
He's not your uncle.
No,
he's not my uncle.
Well, he just said he wanted to hang out. So
let's go whip his ass.
So I don't know. We'll see if the fans like him. We'll bring him back. You all right with that, Gavin?
Man, I don't give a damn who likes me. I'm gonna sit here and drink my beer and my whiskey at the same time and come on the show if you guys will have me. But them fans, they kiss my ass.
Okay, Gavin. Anyway, that's about it for today's show, folks. Hey, I appreciate you you downloading us, and we'll see where this thing goes on our inaugural edition of Booking the Territory. So that's gonna do it. Hey, we're on Facebook. Just look us up under Booking the Territory. We're also on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. That's @BTT_podcast. I'm also on Twitter at @Mike504Saints. I don't know if Doc is. I don't think he does social media like I do. But again, go ahead and give us a follow on Twitter. And we look forward to next week. So for Mike and Doc, we'll catch you all next week. Book it. Just see how I live, man. Haters.